Hi guys, it's Tony Robbins. You're listening to Habits and Hustle. Crush it.
Kelly Miller, you have a great book. I love hacks of any kind. You know, I love hacks. And you have a book called Love Hacks, which I guess it's a great title for today's time, right? Everyone's looking for a quick fix, easy way to do something actionable. And I don't know, I'm surprised that this title hasn't been taken before you, to be honest, because it's so perfect. It's called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. Just kind of before we just dive right into this book, I have a lot of questions. Give me a little bit of an origin story of who you are and what made you write this.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. Yes. So I'm Kelly Miller. I am a psychotherapist that works with couples and individuals. Mm-hmm. And the reason I wrote this, it's exactly what you said. There are really no succinct, quick and easy couples relationship books out there. So I kept hearing these couples coming into my office with the same concerns repeatedly. And I thought, I need to develop the top 15 most common relationship issues and 3 solutions to each so people can get the quick and dirty without having to go through this long, arduous process.
I love that. That's how it came to me. Yeah, I love that because especially I think if you're a really busy, first of all, like the time constraints it takes to do therapy regularly, although they, you know, the other side of the coin is people say anything worth having or working on takes work, effort, sure, and time, right? Like the grass that gets watered grows, right?
Right.
So there's like kind of like an oxymoron in this whole thing, right? Like these quick fixes. Is there even such a thing as a quick fix for a relationship?
The way I look at it is, to me, traditional couples therapy is best, but this is the next best thing for me. So it's like, I'd rather have people have something than nothing.
Yeah.
And that's how I see it. Yeah.
I also think it's interesting because, you know, I have a lot of friends who are therapists and like I do a lot of this, I've been doing this podcast for so long and it's very interesting that it's always the same. Like you said, it's very top line. Like it's the same few things that people tend to talk about of why the relationship's not working, right? Either money, sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it you put in that thing, chores, because it's true.
I was just going to say chores, right?
And it's the chores of like, and I have this conversation a lot with friends. It's like, well, I'm doing more than you are. How are you contributing to this situation? Especially if two people are equal in terms, they're both working parents, career oriented, mm-hmm, have the kids. Well, lots of times what happens is it does fall on the mom, the mother. Yeah. I'm asking for a friend. More than it does more than the man, right? Right?
Yeah.
So what is your hack for that?
Right. Sure. So it's very simple. I want couples to create a chore chart and you sit down together and you talk about all your tasks and then you rotate it. So week one is going to be, this person's going to be cleaning the toilets, vacuuming. Next week, they're going to be walking the dog, cleaning the dishes, things like that. And then you just switch. And so that way, no one's nagging. You put it on the refrigerator. It's right there. It's plain and simple. To me, that's the easiest way. Otherwise, you're right. We create that mental tally in our head of like, oh my God, I did this and they're not doing anything. And it's like, nope, it's right there. Everybody can see it.
Right. Even though, okay, I got so many questions with this, right? Like, because a lot of this stuff, like, it's true. Like, you know, these hacks are very, like, I like them because it's very common sense, right? Like, yeah, like if you want to have something that's much more equal, like write it down a chart, put it on the fridge.
Right.
But then like you get into this very like mechanical, technical relationship, right? Where it's really becoming a partnership in a way, right? Where
business,
a business partnership. And yeah, then how do you have this partnership and not lose the romantic element, the actual intimacy beyond just having, you know, your partner become your husband or wife?
Right. Exactly. I think both have to exist, right? Because this is a partnership. And so there's going to have to be logistics. And then we bring in some of that intimacy and the romance. And so in Love Hacks, I talk a lot about the importance of date nights and how we really have to prioritize our partner again. So I think people forget that these two things can exist and we can have this logistical partnership, but then also this romantic, fun, silly relationship too.
You think that's possible? I mean, I'm just being honest and real. Very rarely does that continue when you have 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, you know, 1 kid. I mean, because life happens, right? And so
sure.
you need to make, is everything becoming charts? Like you have your chore chart, you have your date night, you
right.
have, you schedule everything in terms of like, you schedule sex, you schedule intimacy. Like it's very hard not to become a robot in this whole
right.
thing we call relationships.
Right, exactly. I think there's just going to be a balance, right? So I think if you're going to do a chore chart, you're doing that. And then other things can be a little more flexible. So it doesn't have to be so rigid where you're right, then you lose mm-hmm. the flexibility and spontaneity. But on the other hand, if people aren't doing anything, if they're fighting over chores, if they're not having sex, we need to implement something, some sort of structure. And maybe initially it's going to be a little bit intense at the beginning, but then it'll die down over time a little bit. So maybe it is important to start that at the beginning if you're lacking so much, and then it can kind of come back into balance.
Is it harder now for couples than ever before to, I guess, stay married or be in a relationship with all the different external forces like social media and just that in itself, or technology? You know, technology is supposed to like make things faster, easier, quicker, better, but like it also is very distracting, and you have more access to everything, people, opportunities, business. So your focus is, it's hard to stay focused on what's in front of you, you know, i.e. that relationship.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. They've even done studies where people are on dates, and if they even have their phone on the table, it's not even on, they're not even looking at it, people feel less attended to. So I think that is a big part of it, that quality time with our partners is missing because, yeah, we're getting dings and texts and different things like that. So I think that's one thing I really do want to stress, is that importance of that undivided quality time, even if it's 20 minutes, right? And it's no phones, we're just going to focus on each other. Or at dinner time, you make a rule of, okay, yeah, where everybody's off the phones. Because I think that's what's missing so much is that quality time, mm-hmm. for sure.
So besides taking the phone and putting it beside, you know, in your purse or mm-hmm. On the count, like somewhere else in a different counter.
Sure.
What else can we do to be much more focused mm-hmm. and present?
Right.
When you have all some resentments yeah. and life, legit, like life.
Right, of course.
You know?
Right, yes. One thing I created in Love Hacks is something I term TEAS, and it stands for traditions, efforts, acknowledgements, silly, and erotic. And they're really quick partner connections that you can do that don't take a lot of time. So traditions, can you create something with your partner that's just between the two of you? Maybe it's you have morning coffee. Maybe it's that you say, we're going to do our five things we're grateful for. E is for efforts. What can you do today that doesn't take a lot for your partner? Okay, can I, you know, clean my partner's car today? Can I, you know, vacuum today? Something quick and easy. Acknowledgements. Can I tell my partner something about them that I appreciate? Or can I just send them a text about it? S is silly. We forget. We need to have fun. Can I just talk to my partner in a foreign accent? Throw them off. Have fun. Something cute and silly. E is erotic. And it doesn't have to be sex. Can I just send my partner a steamy text? Can I send them a poem, a sensual poem? And those are just five things that are just really quick and easy that you can do to bring back a little bit of that connection.
Are you married? Do you have kids?
I'm divorced. Okay. I have two boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say something in the book I found was interesting, and I meant to mention it, or you talk about that social media questionnaire to see if you are somebody who is so distracted by that, which it could be affecting the relationship. I like
yes.
that because... that's a, what I love, anything that is a visual, tactile thing that you can do to prove what your
right.
what your actions are. So,
sure.
Because I'm sure a lot of, like, you know, I'm married, whatever, but like it happens all the time. Like I can say something like, you never said that, or you didn't do that. But I'm like, no,
right.
I did do that.
Right.
Like stuff like that where you can like see, like, look, you know, like I can tell based on this questionnaire, I am very distracted. I am spending
right.
too much time on that. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a few other things similar to that, or talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So yes. Yeah, so what you're speaking of, you're talking about the social media questionnaire to see if you are distracted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's either on my website, you can download it on Kelly with an I, Miller Therapy, and you can download that questionnaire, or it's in Love Hacks. But yeah, I mean, I think most people may not realize that they have an issue. And so I think sometimes just putting those questions up front, oh yeah, I realize that, yeah, I do compare myself to others, or, oh wow, I'm on social media a lot more than I'm with my partner. And so it's like coming to terms with that. But yeah, that's one thing. And then I think it's also I have something in Love Hacks called using the mirror on why. And it's really checking in. Why am I constantly going to social media? Because so many people do it and they don't realize why. And so it's checking in. Am I bored? Am I angry? Am I, you know, frustrated with my partner and I want to post a selfie to validate myself? You know, there's so many things. So this is a simple reflection exercise that allows you to check in and say, oh yeah, I'm doing this because I'm not feeling so great right now, or I'm feeling sad. And so what else can I do instead of turning to social media, kind of getting away from that?
Do you have any stats or anything? I'm curious about how relationships have plummeted from 2012, let's say, or when social media or technology really took a major climb.
Sure. I don't have any stats, but I imagine it's made such a difference. I mean, it has to. Yeah. I mean, well, and it's like, I think it's great because I think social media can connect a lot of people. And I also think that it can tear relationships apart. I mean, even something simple as like reconnecting with an ex, right? When you're married or in a relationship online and suddenly you're having this emotional relationship online. So I think it can get a bit dangerous in that way.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain things that you find in your practice that men see as a problem versus the women?
That's a great question. You know, it's sort of generic, but I feel like, yeah, typically men are just more logical, want to fix the problem. Women are, you know, more emotional. And so I think with men, sometimes it just feels like it's simpler. Like I hear a lot, like I wish my wife or girlfriend would appreciate me more or tell me more things, right? And typically what I see with the women is like the resentment of like they're working too much and I'm doing all the chores and taking care of the kids. So, I mean, it's pretty generic, but that's another reason why I wrote this book is because people are not alone in these issues. They're common for a reason.
Yeah. And yet, Lo, I think they've been the same. But the interesting thing is what you just said, these have been the issues for, they're timeless. It has nothing to do with social media. Social media becomes like the catalyst of like being more distracted and making your relationship worse. But the core fundamentals are very similar. Women are emotional. They tend to have that, harbor the resentment. They're looking for a certain thing. Men, of course, the love language, it does seem to be, you know, acts of, not acts, but like praising, or what's that, affirmations of.
You mean acts of service?
Not acts of service. Women love acts of service, I feel. Doesn't that, in the five love languages, women seem to love acts of service. Men, this is just from all my experience, you're the professional, and men love being appreciated, being told how great they are, how wonderful
words
they are, words of affirmation.
And physical touch.
And I was going to say, and physical touch. And mm-hmm. So there is that in itself, right? So if we just follow that, basically, we would seem to be okay, right? Like, to follow this book, the love language for women is 90% this and 80% for men.
Yeah.
And yet, like, it's sometimes all the stuff we know still doesn't, you know, make it happen, doesn't get executed.
Right. Sure. Well, I think, though, the difference, kind of what you're saying, aside from the social media, I just think we're busier, too, than we were generations ago. Like, I just think we're always moving and we're busier. So that makes a difference, too, where we just aren't, we need to slow down and connect. I mean, how can you connect with somebody if you're, like, always running around and all that? So I do encourage people to just slow down so you can be with your partner again and have that. Less distractions, all of that will make a difference.
But like what? But we're not going to become less busy. I feel what happens is you become busier and busier. So you have to kind of be much more, I guess, purposeful. What is it like? What is it in our brain, like psychologically, that makes us do that though? Like, we can have all the information and yet still not execute the way we should. We can see a therapist. I mean, we can be seeing a therapist twice a week for 10 years and never get better, right? Mm-hmm.
So people's actions convey their priorities. So if it's important to you to connect with your partner, then you need to slow down and you need to say, I need to make my partner priority, right? And I need to put work aside for a little bit, not forever, but while my relationship is lacking and things like that. So I think it's a matter of priority, to be honest.
So what is your number one way that you can like rekindle a connection that has been lost?
So it might sound counterintuitive, but for me, it's getting vulnerable and saying to your partner, hey, I've noticed we're not connecting the same way, you know, or we've lost that spark. and coming up together. What can we do? Because it's true. I mean, both partners probably are realizing it and they're not talking about it. Heads in the sand. They're going about their business. And I think we need to talk about it. What can we do? What can I do to help this relationship really get back into that partnership mentality and talk about it?
So when do you call in? When do you call it quits? You wrote a book on love hacks. You talk all about relationships. You're divorced.
Right.
It didn't work for you. At what point do you say, you know what, I've exhausted all of these things, or you know what, the love, the connection's just not there anymore? When do you make that decision?
I mean, I think the big thing is both people have to really want it. So that's the kicker, right? So if one person really wants it and is putting in all that work and the other person isn't, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do there, right? Assuming that you've exhausted all possibilities, you've really tried. So both people have to really want it. And then I think when you realize this is hurting me more than it's serving me, right? I'm getting hurt by this relationship. I'm not happy anymore. I've given it X amount of time. That's different for everybody. It's no longer serving me. I mean, correct. I'm in the business of helping people stay together. And that's why I wrote the book. But right, there is a time when it's just no longer working. Or of course, there's some sort of abuse physically, things like that, where it's just dangerous.
Do you ever see, can you tell right away when you work with a couple, if this couple has longevity or not? Can you see that right away?
A lot of times,
yeah.
You can tell, especially if somebody has one foot out the door. I mean, that's really hard. Or, people come to me when it's already too late and it's sort of help, save. And I'm like, no, you should have come to me 6 months ago, a year ago.
Really?
So you do what you can, but it's difficult. Yeah, that's why I always say I'd rather people come in sooner than later.
What are some of the signs that you see when they walk in your office that you're kind of like, yep, this is not going to work, or yeah, this has potential?
Right. A lot of criticism. Criticism to your partner is so damaging. So because partners, if they're not feeling valued or respected, why are they going to want to stay in something? So when I see that, I have to stop it. I tell people, okay, you're going on a no criticism break for a week and let's come back. And it's amazing when the couples come back and they're like, oh my God, the week was so great. And I'm like, yes, you two were not criticizing each other. You weren't critiquing every movement. So it does help.
So what do you tell people? Besides just saying, okay, don't criticize each other for a week and come back and see where that is. What do you replace that criticism with? Because it becomes patterns, right? People are very habitual and people don't change what they're going to do. So are you just supposed to bite your tongue? What are you supposed to do in replacement?
This is what I say. I say, it's understandable. You're frustrated. Write it down. And when we come back in session, we talk about it. And a lot of times they'll write it down and then they come back. They're like, oh yeah, that really didn't bother me that much, right? Like a week goes by. It's like, oh yeah, it felt bigger at the moment. So there's something about just writing it down, letting it go, and they can move on. But if it is still an issue, we talk about it. Okay, why did this bother you? Or what can we do next time? That kind of thing. We problem solve.
See, to me, that's a really good hack right there, right? Because people act in the moment a lot of times, right?
Sure.
And if they just wrote it out, they'll still feel like they got it out. And then they didn't cause a whole ripple effect of other things to happen.
Exactly.
Right? And then when you do look back at it, with me, I'll write drafts of things of whatever, and you go back to them, you're like, what is this? Like, you don't even remember why that was important or painful or annoying. And I think that's a really good hack, just to write down whatever that thing was. Give me another hack like that, that people can start doing right now.
Sure. Yeah. So another thing is, I think we have to look at anger. We get so angry all the time. And so another acronym I created was SHADE. And it's sad, hurt, ashamed, disappointed, or embarrassed. So when you're angry at your partner, if you can just do that quick check-in, okay, I'm really sad, right? Because to me, anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary. And what is really going on here? What am I sad about? Oh, I'm sad about, something my partner did, or I'm hurt that they did this to me. And if we can go there, because anger feels like you're in control, you're powerful, but it's like, no, we got to get to that vulnerability. What's really going on? And talk about it and connect. And then that way it's like, okay, we can have a constructive conversation and not yell at each other and have these anger conversations.
So much of this advice, not you, but I'm saying in general, right? It's about remembering you're in the moment, right? And then saying this to yourself. And this is where I have a problem, because it's very hard. Like, it's true, because I feel like people say that it's a very, like, obvious thing to do. Like, in the moment, stop yourself, breathe, like, you know, like, remember.
Right.
But in the heat of the moment, things don't happen like that, right?
Right.
So is there a tactic, a trick that you can actually do in the heat of the moment?
Yes. Timeouts are huge. And people think of them as punitive. To me, they're one of the best things couples can do. And so in Love Hacks, I detail, how do we have timeouts? Timeouts are for recentering. And so if you can start to notice you are getting heated, 1 through 10, you're like a 6 out of 10, 10 being you are going to explode. I want you to stop and say to your partner, I'm getting heated. Or if you notice your partner's getting heated and you say, I think we need a timeout. You take a timeout, you do whatever you need to do, listen to music, take a walk. And then the person who calls the timeout is the one in charge of reconvening the conversation. Because we forget, when we're screaming at each other, neither partner is receptive. But if we take that time out, then we come back, both people are much more receptive. So that is a very quick and easy hack that I think is super effective and works.
Yeah, I do it with my kids all the time, but not with Seth. But it's a good one because you come back and you're like more level-headed and nothing good happens in that heated emotion, right? So...
Exactly.
Right. So, like, have you seen that be very helpful with clients of yours?
I was just going to say, So, I mean, look, you're obviously very big into fitness and it, you know, immediately you didn't start out the gym. Like, it takes practice. And so I think with some of these hacks, I mean, it's not going to come intuitively. So yes, it might take a little bit, right? The first time out might be a little, oh, this is uncomfortable. But I think as you do these things, they just become easier and you realize, oh, this is actually making a much more fruitful conversation if I do these hacks than if I don't. So yeah, it's going to take effort. I mean, that's what I say in the book. I'm like, this is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. But you got to put in that effort.
Yeah.
Like you always say, you know, for that outcome.
Absolutely. And so how long should a timeout be? And like, does it matter? And like, do you believe in this whole idea of not going to bed angry? Because sometimes you have to go to bed angry.
I mean, right.
Yeah, to ask you for a friend.
So I typically say 2 hours is pretty good for a timeout. But when you do talk about timeouts, let me specify this. I want it to be talked about when you're on neutral ground. This is not a time when you're arguing to be like, hey, let's talk about timeouts. This is when it's neutral. Hey, let's establish our rules for timeouts. And what does that look like for us? And usually a good rule of thumb is about 2 hours. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm not hard or fast about the going to sleep angry. I mean, I think you're right. Sometimes it's late at night. It's 1 in the morning. You're fighting. You're exhausted. It's like, okay, we're not going to get anywhere. But what I do want couples to do is say, hey, let's make an agreement that we'll talk about it in the morning. I don't want it left unsaid. Let's just agree that, you know, after we drop off the kids or whatever it is, let's come back to this. So it's not open-ended and, you know, you're not talking for days. But yeah, maybe you both need a break and that's okay too.
Let's talk about something else that I thought was very interesting because I believe in this, the cognitive distortions that happen.
Yes.
That's a big one, right?
Yes.
Do you want to just talk about it a little bit?
Sure. So cognitive distortions it's really fun. We all do them. It's a way of thinking that causes biases. So a perfect example is something called black and white thinking or all or nothing thinking, right? Like I'm going to be super successful or I'm going to be a complete failure. Like there's no in between in the gray. So that happens a lot with our partners. We just do that without even realizing it. It might be even that all or nothing thinking with our partners, like, oh my God, they have to be the best partner or they are terrible. So, you know, it's really checking in and seeing them. And so I have a list in Love Hacks of all of those that, you know, that we should take a look at to help ourselves.
Well, I think I thought that was just more like extreme personality. You know what I mean? Like I love it or I hate it. But there's another area that I really liked, which is determining our needs from wants.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, typically, you know, couples come together and it makes sense, right? Everything's kind of aligning and then life happens. And, you know, one partner who really wants to work suddenly wants to stay home with the kids. And so things aren't necessarily lining up. And that happens often. So, right. So created this chapter called We Want Different Things. And we talk about, okay, what do we do if we want these different things? And how do we compromise, so to speak, if, you know, we're no longer aligning on those things. And so one of the things I talk about is creating a values pie chart. Like, and it sounds more complicated than it is, but it's really like, okay, what is the most important thing right now? And you may realize, oh, actually, we are kind of more aligned than we thought. Or, you know, there's something else in that chapter where I make a chart of, you know, what are my most important wants and needs? And can we both look at where we do connect in that way? Yeah. And then there's some other tools and hacks in there too that kind of help out in that section.
No, talk about it. I like this part. I think it's important. I think because if your needs are different than the other person's needs, and when do you pick your want over your need, or is it, can you just kind of talk more about
it? Right, sure. So one thing that I talk about in Love Hacks is what I call who is more emotionally invested. So a lot of times we feel like we're equally invested in something, and the truth is we're not. And so I use the scaling system that I really like, where it's 1 through 10. One is you don't really care about your choice. And 10 is I am so invested in this choice. So you can do this with small issues like, hey, I want to go to the movies, and no, I want to stay home, and bigger things. And so you ask each other, like, how emotionally invested are you? And you agree to both be honest around it. And so one person may say, like, I'm a 3 on this. And somebody else says, you know, I'm a 9. And so guess what? The person who's more emotionally invested gets that one, and vice versa. And over time, it just seems to even out if both people are really honest about it.
I love that one too. So basically you kind of create these things where if I'm a 3 and you're a 9, or I'm a 5 and you're a 6. So basically it's like paper, scissor, rocks. Like whoever like wins that particular round gets the thing.
Exactly. Yes. And knowing over time, again, it will even out, right? It's not like, I mean, yes, it just has to. You're not always going to be invested in something or your partners. It's like, okay, yeah, you'll realize that it's going to even out.
But those things are like frivolous, right? Like, if I want to go to, you know, Trader Joe's and he wants to go to Erewhon, okay, big deal. Those are like frivolous things. Okay, what are, name some bigger issues that you can use this emotional, like that type of emotional.
That are like bigger?
Yeah, that really work.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because like big to you may seem small to somebody else, but like, right? I mean, so it's really depending, right? Yeah. Like, so I have a couple right now that's going to be expecting a baby, and the husband's like, I don't want your mother coming. And she's like, I need my mother. So it's like, that's a big thing to them, mm-hmm. right? But so that's where I would ask her, how emotionally invested are you? And she'd be like, I'm a 9. I'm like, what about you? And he'd be like, she's annoying. She's in my space. I guess a 5. And I'm like, okay, then let's talk about how you're going to get your own space when this happens. So she wins. She's a 9. He's a 5. All right, well, we can work with this, right? Yeah, it sounds like she's crowding you. All right, let's figure out that piece. Well, so I think it just depends, yeah.
But what if they're both 9s? What if what if they're both very high on that chart or that quotient chart?
Right. I mean, it's so funny because you would think that would happen more than it does. It doesn't, but you're right. But on occasion, if it does, then I think either partners say, okay, this time you get it, or vice versa, or you literally are just going to flip a coin. Like, okay, we are both equally invested, so the only fair way out of this is flipping a coin. And so, you know, in those cases, I think that needs to be done. Because if you both are equally, it's like, okay, that's the only fair way to get through this.
Wow. How about, you talk a lot about this fast food communication. Can you talk about that a little bit of what that is?
Like, sure.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. If you think about when you go to a drive-thru for fast food, mm-hmm. you're ordering and the employee wants to make sure that they have your order correct. So they're going to repeat it back to you. And it's even on the screen to ensure accuracy. And I want partners to do that same thing. There's so many miscommunications, misunderstandings. And it's really simple. If we just say to our partner, what I'm hearing you say is, and then you repeat back, it's amazing how many times like, oh yeah, they heard me. Or no, wait, you got it wrong. I actually said XYZ. So it's really just using that same fast food communication with our partners. And it does two things. It really does ensure accuracy, and it makes our partner feel validated. Because if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I'm really upset that you came home late, our instinct is to defend. We want to say, well, I was late because my boss made me do X, Y, and Z. But if you pause for a minute and you say to your partner, what I'm hearing you say is you're upset that I came home late, your partner immediately feels validated, like, oh, they heard me. And they're not defending. They're not immediately protecting themselves. They're actually taking a second to listen to me. So it kind of slows down our need to defend. And so it helps in two ways.
I think overall, though, like listening in general is so important for any relationship to be a quality, personal, yes. professional. Listening, and like this is a skill, a life skill that mm-hmm. has gone remiss with a lot of people.
Yes.
And
100%.
Right?
Yes.
How do you, I mean, I know you're maybe, how did you improve that if someone is not naturally inclined? And yes. By you just saying, I need you to listen more, it does not help, by
Correct.
The way.
Yes. No. Well, I think the first, there's a huge distinction. Hearing is involuntary. We hear the doorbell ring. We hear the dog bark. Listening is focused intent on what your partner is saying. So that's the first thing. So a lot of times partners will be like, you know, they're not hearing me. What I'm saying is, no, they're not listening to me is really what they're meaning. So to me, a really simple hack is asking your partner too, do you want me to give feedback or do you want me to be a sounding board? Because a lot of times people don't feel listened to because their partner's not giving feedback and they're like, you know, hey, I wanted your ideas, or it's the opposite. They're telling me what to do and I just want them to nod and listen and not try to fix it for me. So that's just a really simple hack where it sounds so cliche, but it's true, where it's like, okay, what kind of feedback do I want here? Do I want my partner to actively participate, or do I just want to vent? Mm-hmm. And both are okay.
No, I love that. And also, by the way, a lot of this stuff may seem like obvious, but people need reminders and reminding of it. You know what I mean? This is the problem, right? Like I think the majority of people know, in theory what we should do, but in practice, it's very different what we do versus what we know in theory. That's the first part. I was going to ask you, because how long have you been in practice for?
I got my master's in 2004.
Okay.
In social work.
In social work? Okay. So what would you say is it has the number one or two spot of what people see you for different today than it was back then?
That's a really great question. I think for individuals, it's probably about the same. It's a lot of depression, anxiety, and then relationships. I mean, I think people feel more crunched, like they're just, you know, they're working and they're stressed out. So that to me feels like it's higher. Yeah, I'm curious if you've felt the same, like just, you know, from what you've seen with even friends, like it just feels like people are just more crunched.
I do feel that way.
And yeah.
But I feel that way also because, you know, your career evolves, right? And as you get more successful, sometimes you get busier and busier, and then you add on the marriage and the kids and everything else. So everything always feels super, I always feel super crunched. But then you have, now everyone has to be their own social media. You have a whole other full-time job because everything has to be online, or else you're not considered to be a professional expert or relevant. So then you have an entire other full-time job that you have to attend to. Look at you. You're like a therapist, but yet you have to now be selling a book, which is now you got to have a profile on Instagram and do these little quotes and then hire someone to help you. And then do all these
so
podcasts.
True.
It's like, holy shit. So how are we in a real way supposed to have meaningful, deep connections with people in real time when the world around us is forcing us to be unavailable if we want to also be productive as individuals? It's a crazy conundrum we're in.
It really is. Well, I think it's how we view balance too, right? And it's recognizing, look, I'm not going to be balanced perfectly every day, but hey, 1 week I'm going to spend more time with my kids. 1 week I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my partner. 1 week I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my kids. So I think that's how we can view balance without getting completely stressed out and saying, I need to do it perfectly every day.
I just find this I love talking to people like you, but at the same time, as I was gonna say, you know, I haven't spoken to the word but, and at the same time, you know, I find it to be just, it's still like I can have all the tools in the toolbox.
Right.
And you have to choose what you do with them, because in a fast paced thing, you either make a decision and choice to work on your relationship or work on your career, or you don't, you know? And so this to me, the reason why I like having people like you is it reminds me hey, wait, maybe I have been remiss in these things. I have to kind of it keeps me sharp, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think there's also all this pressure to do it perfectly. And I hear that, you know, with you and everybody else. And so it's like, okay, let's have a little bit of grace. We don't have to do it perfectly. We really don't. It's difficult in this world. But yeah, I mean, that's part of it for sure.
Do you still practice?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that what you do full time?
I do. Yeah. Correct.
So if people want to find, the book is called Love Hacks. And like I said, it's and you can just hear from this podcast, she gives some great, Kelly Miller, gives some wonderful hacks that you can really try to implement into your relationships if you don't have time to go to a therapist, if you don't have the money to go to a therapist, or if you just period don't like to go. This is just a great, another tool in your toolbox. And thank you for coming on this podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I loved it, really. Thank you. And I love your questions. I love that you challenge me. It's fantastic.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. You can come back on again. I have more questions. And like, I'm just trying to, again, I'm just so, I have to go to the next. I'm trying to be on time for the next thing. This is my point, right? Like,
right.
I have all these other things I'd love to speak with you about, but you can come back again and we can do this again. But where do people find you if they want to know more? Because we all know you have to have social media now. God forbid you don't.
Yes, exactly. I know, like you were saying. So you can find me on Instagram, Kelly Miller Therapy. So it's Kelly with an I. Same with Facebook, Kelly Miller Therapy. My website is KellyMillerTherapy.com. And yeah, and you can buy Love Hacks anywhere where books are sold, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff.
I love it. I also want to say another reason why I like the book. It's a quick read. It's not something that's like arduous. Like I get books here all the time and I'm like, I look at them and it's like scary to me. I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to even like delve into that? Is this on audio for people as well?
Yes, it is on audio as well.
Good.
Which is great. But that's why I created this, because exactly what you're talking about, Jen, everyone's so busy. Who has time to go through like all of this stuff? And especially if you're a couple or in a crisis, you need quick solutions. And that's why I created it.
Absolutely. I love that. And thank you again. I had a great time talking to you. And and good luck with the book.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You. Okay, we'll be in touch, okay? I'll get your, we'll do all the things later. I got to run to the next thing.
Exactly. All right, good luck.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.